as desperation. Without hope, walk the shell of a man. Then a hand with a nail print stretched downward. Just one touch, then a new life began. And the old rugged cross made the difference. In a life bound for heartache and defeat, I will praise Him forever and ever. For the cross made the difference for me. Barren walls echoed harshness and anger. Little feet ran with terror to hide. Now those walls ring with love, warmth, and laughter. Since the giver of life moved inside. There's a room filled with sad, ashen faces. Without hope, death has wrapped them in gloom. But at the side of a saint there's rejoicing. For life can't be sealed in a tomb. And the old rugged cross made the difference. In a life bound for heartache and defeat, I will praise Him forever and ever. For the cross made the difference for me.
Thank you, Brother Bob, and I hope the cross has made a difference in your life, and it sure has in mine, and I appreciate the song. Thank you, Brother Davis, for the song. Thank you, Brother Angel, for the presentation, and thank you for the fellowship tonight. Thank you for the opportunity that you allowed my wife and I to spend time. Now, you need to get by and meet this two-year-old now. She's right in the middle of those two-year-old habits, you know. She's reaching over on my plate, taking food off of it. And just kidding. No, she's so, won't you make sure to take her out of here and let her loose on folks, okay? And that's if she's awake. And I'm sure she is. We load her up pretty good with stuff at supper, so she'll probably be ready for you tonight. Take your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians 9, and let's stand together. We're going to read the first two verses. 2 Corinthians 9. Now, I'll get into this in just a moment, but 2 Corinthians 9 is nothing more than a continuation of 2 Corinthians 8. And I'll get into the subject of the matter here of what Paul is covering to the Corinthians. Now, keep in mind that these Corinthian Christians were Gentiles. These people were raised heathens. They were raised in situations and circumstances that were totally contrary to Christianity. Matter of fact, they were so messed up that after they got saved, they tried to bring some of their heathen practices into the church. And so Paul had to correct a lot of that and kind of get that stuff swept out of the church. And so we come to 2 Corinthians, and he really starts throwing some meat out there to them, and they really start getting. Isn't it great when you see somebody saved, you got a young Christian, and you see they're starting to catch on? They're starting to catch on to what Christianity is about, and they're starting to make some comments here and there. They're just acting different. They look different because they're starting to catch on to it. In 2 Corinthians, these Corinthian Christians are starting to catch on to things. They're starting to get a hold of things. And I want you to notice in chapter 9, verse 1, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you." Now I want you to listen to verse 2. "For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia." You know what he boasted about? He said, listen, got a church over here in Corinth, they're catching on. He said, they're starting to get a hold of Christianity. He said, "I boast of you to them of Macedonia that Achaia was ready a year ago." And I want you to listen to this statement, because this is what I'm going to preach on. He said, "And your zeal hath provoked very many." He said, because you caught on to Christianity, and because you not only caught on to it, but you decided you were going to practice what was preached, he said, "Your zeal for Jesus Christ now has provoked many others likewise to begin to serve and to begin to live for Christ." So I want to talk to you tonight, church, for just a few moments that we have about provoking zeal. Provoking zeal. Father, bless our short time that we have tonight. Thank you for what our hearts have already felt, our eyes have seen, ears have heard tonight. And we pray, Lord, that you'd stir us for the country of Madagascar, that we might intensify our prayers for these dear people. Thank you for Brother and Mrs. Angel who have surrendered their life to give to this country. For these people, use them in a great way. Teach us, Holy Spirit, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, our context, church, before us deals with the subject. It's a continuation of chapter 8. It deals with the subject of giving and ministering to the saints that were facing some lean times. The Christians in Jerusalem and in Judea, times were a little bit lean. You ever been there? You ever been in lean times in your life? By the way, when you were in lean times, did you ever look for somebody to help you? Did you ever look for somebody? Listen, if I could just get a note through the mail, if I could just get a card from somebody through the mail, if I could just hear a kind word from somebody. You ever been there? You see, there were people like that that Paul had ministered to, and so he obviously had communicated to these Gentile Christians about the needs of the Jewish Christians back in Jerusalem, the Jewish Christians back in Judea. Now, Paul had boasted about these churches. He said, listen, you're not going to believe this. He said, I went to these towns and preaching. He said, some of these people want to kill me. He said, now they love me. They wanted to kill me, now they love me. And I go in there and preach. He said, man, we've got churches established. He said, these are Gentile people. They come out of heathenistic practices. But he preached to them Jesus Christ, and he began to communicate back to Jewish believers about what was going on around the world. That's why we have missionaries like the angels come in to communicate to you and I what God's doing around the world. And that's what Paul did. He said, boy, you're not going to believe what's happening over here in Corinth. You're not going to believe what's happening over here in Thessalonica. You're not going to believe what's going to happen over here. And listen, folks, all of these people in Madagascar, they're people just like you. They have a soul, and they need to be saved. Somebody's going to have to go tell them about Jesus Christ. You see, Paul had taught them that their newfound Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was given to them through the Jewish people. That's the reason they had such a burden, that when they heard that these saints of God that had brought the Savior into the world, and here they were, lowly Gentiles. By the way, it was a miracle that Gentiles took an offering to send back to the Jews, because keep in mind, the Jews used to call the Gentiles dogs. He said, now, folks, he said to these people, these people gave us the Savior. And folks, listen to me. It doesn't really matter what we think today about some of the political things going around the world. America better never step aside from the side of Israel. Better do it. And so Paul obviously had taught these Gentiles that the Jewish people were God's people. The Savior came through their line. These Gentile believers, they seemed to be so moved by their newfound Christianity and for the source of giving to the saints back in Jerusalem. They were so moved by their newfound Christianity, they wanted to demonstrate their love. They wanted to show how much they were thankful for what God had done for them by sending the gospel through the Apostle Paul. So they got word about a need back in Jerusalem. By the way, Paul's people, Paul's ancestors. And so by Christian gesture, they wanted to do something for them. Look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 4. The scripture says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Now, he's talking about here about the churches. If you go back to verse number 1, he says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. But the key here that I want to look at right here is this. He says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Go to verse number 10. It says, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. So obviously the giving, the spirit of Christianity was boiling among these people. They saw a need, heard a need, and wanted to meet the need. You know what? That's Christianity. That's sincere, real Christianity. Folks, that's the reason giving to missions is real Christianity. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to help reach people in Madagascar. We're trying to help reach people around the world. And you know what the motivating factor of these people were? The motivating factor was they had heard the gospel and they had become Christians. You know, Paul was so moved by the Corinthians' offer that he stated, if you'll notice there, he said, your zeal hath provoked very many. Now, folks, listen. The church at Corinth, these weren't filthy rich people. These were people that were probably getting by very meager means, like some of us do. But you know, just because that they were getting by, maybe in Corinth in that day, maybe there was a recession in their day. But you know what? They didn't let the recession stop them from meeting the needs and being Christians. So they took up a collection for the saints back in Jerusalem. Now, folks, listen, we have money for what we want, don't we? And somehow, these people were able to scrape up an offering to give to Paul, to minister to the people, the saints of God, his, maybe some of his own ancestors, Jews, who they had been taught brought the Savior into the world. So you know what? It was a gift of gratitude. It was a gift of concern and love. Now, I want you to look at verse number 2. I want to define a couple of terms. First of all, he said, your zeal. That word zeal just means your eagerness or your desire to accomplish something. You see, they were passionate. They had a passionate drive to pursue giving an offering to minister to someone else. Now, folks, I don't know what missionary slides do to you, but they stir me up. They stir me up. Because, listen, God, sometimes we think in America that we've got the corner on the gospel. That we've got a corner on the market, on the gospel. And let me tell you something. If in America, if we don't get our act straight, he's going to move on to Madagascar. And if they want revival, he'll send it there if we don't want it. Man, these people in Corinth, they got stirred up. He said, your zeal, your excitement, your passion, your drive has provoked. Did you see that word? That word provoke? He said, that word provoke here, he said, your zeal has provoked many. It's excited. It's motivated others. It's caused others to stand up and act. That's what he's talking about. And you know what? They saw the zeal of these Gentile Christians. And he said, your zeal hath provoked very many. You say, preacher, what's the drive behind their zeal? Well, let's look at it. First of all, 2 Corinthians 8, you're still there? Look at verse 8. He says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. You say, what love? Verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. Go down to verse number 24. Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. You know what the motivating factor was here of these Gentile Christians? It was love. That's what motivated them. Listen, the greatest motivating factor on planet Earth is love. Love even supersedes hate. That's the reason Jesus said that where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. You see, love is the greatest force on earth. And it was love because of their Savior that drove them to give. First of all, their love for Christ. Their number one motivating factor was their love for Jesus Christ. And yet the Lord said, if you love me, John 14:15, and that's a big word, if you love me, keep my commandments. And listen, folks, you've seen people all the time. A lot of people give God lip service. It's kind of like we do sometimes. We'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. Well, those are kind of, Christian buzzwords. We'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. Or, love you. We'll love you. Now listen, the thing about it is these people, something got a hold of them. I tell you what got a hold of them. The love of Jesus got a hold of them. That's what got a hold. Totally changed their concept. Listen, maybe several years before this, if the news would have come and they said, listen, we got some brothers and sisters back in Judea that are struggling. Can you help us? They probably thought, are you kidding, man? They think I'm a dog. I'm going to help them. But boy, when the love of Christ came in, total change. You say, now, wait a minute. Where did they learn about this love? Well, they learned it from the preacher who came to them. And remember, when you go back into 1 Corinthians chapter 13, remember he taught them about charity. He taught them about love. And listen, in 1 Corinthians 13, keep in mind that Paul had already taught them about the greatest of all Christian attributes, and that was charity. Remember, he said, you have all of these things, but the greatest is charity. They never got away from it. And guess what they started? They started catching on. And now that they started catching on, now they started practicing it. You see, back in 1 Corinthians, they had all kinds of problems, and he had taught them the truth. But let me tell you what their number one drive behind their zeal was. First of all, it was their love for Christ. Second of all, look if you would, in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. There's the love of Christ. But wait a minute, look at this. And unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Did you notice he said that these people not only were motivated by their love for Christ, but they were motivated by their love for Paul. Did you notice he said, you loved us, you gave yourself to us? Now let me ask you this, why would they be motivated by the apostle? Well, guess who brought them the gospel? Guess who brought them the truth? Hey, let me tell you something. Did you hear these people when they gave the testimony? Did you hear when they gave their testimony of salvation? We came to this church and pastor showed us. We came to this church and pastor showed us. Every one of them made a reference to the man of God who came and brought them the gospel. You see, they were motivated by their love for Christ, but they were also motivated by their love for Paul. Listen to me, folks. Every one of us, if the person that led you to Christ is still alive, you need to find out where they are and you need to call them, go see them, write them a card, and thank them for bringing the gospel. Let me tell you something. You know what motivates me? Not only my love for Christ motivates me, but my love for the people that brought me the gospel. It motivates me. Hey, he brought them to Christ. He discipled them. Man, you go back to 1 Corinthians 5, they're messed up. You come to 2 Corinthians 9, they want to give away stuff. What made the difference? Paul made the difference. Their love for Christ and their love for Paul. Listen to me. Undiscipled people will exercise little to no zeal for Jesus Christ over a consistent period of time. So you know why how they got to this place? Because somebody took time to disciple them. Somebody took time to set them down and say, this is what Christianity is all about. And let me say something, folks. It doesn't matter how long we've been a member of a church. There's a lot of people who have been a member of churches years and years that have joined a church and been a member of that church and have not been discipled. And that's the reason their practices are skewed. That's the reason their views are skewed. That's the reason they come to church and the preacher says something and they go, You ever see them? Yeah. You know what happens? What happens is because church membership does not mean discipleship. Somebody had to take these people aside and change the way they think. You see, even though the Jews had called them dogs, because of Jesus, they said, you know, no matter what they used to call us, we're brothers now. We're brothers in Christ. And yet their love for Christ, their love for Paul, and then if you look, if you would, twice. Look at verse 24. He says, and before the church is the proof of your love and of our boasting. He said the proof of your love. And then in verse 1 of chapter 9, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. So here's what drove them. The love for Christ, their love for Paul, and their love for souls. Their love for souls. Their love for other believers. And by the way, folks, you know what? Maybe some of these Jewish believers were new believers. Maybe some of them hadn't been saved very long. Maybe some of them didn't look right, dress right, talk right, or go to the right places. But you know what? The thing about it is, it didn't matter because the motivating factor was love. That's what motivated them. And you know what? Love allows you to look beyond somebody's faults and see the need of their heart. You see, what we got to understand, church, is simply this. Listen, we've got to have the number one motivating factor to practice Christianity is what these Corinthians had. They had charity, they had love, they had a passion for Christ. They loved Paul, and they loved souls. They had a godly respect for the truth. You know what? They just believe whatever the preacher preached, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what they believed. And Paul told them in 1 Corinthians that, you know what? The greatest of all things is charity because it never faileth. They thought, well, that's what the preacher said. So, you know what? Hey, let's practice it. And they did. You see, they had a grateful heart for the Jews because of bringing Jesus. Because it was the line that Jesus came into this world. They had a concern for their brethren. You see, the Corinthian zeal was burning on high octane love. I mean, brother, they were at a peak, and brother, it was high octane love they were burning on. You say, how do you know that? Because when you got people reaching their pocket and start giving so the gospel can be propagated and spread across, that's high octane love right there. High octane. Now, let me mention just a couple of small things here, if I could. Remember I told you that their motivating factor, the thing that drove them was love. It was their love for Christ, love for Paul, and love for souls. Church, that ought to be our motivation. That ought to be the drive behind why we do anything. It's not because we love the buildings of Trinity Baptist Church. We ought to serve and love and pray and study our Bible and witness to people because we love Christ. And because we love souls. And because we love somebody who brought us the gospel. You see, the power of zeal speaks very loudly. Because Paul said that your zeal, Corinthians, has provoked very many. So obviously, when people say, well, you know what, the way I do this or that, it doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Well, right here they did. Because he said their zeal, and listen, I doubt very seriously that people could see their zeal compacted in their heart. That zeal had to come outward. So it was their giving, it was their service, it was their practice, it was their love for Christ, love for Paul, and love for souls that people saw. And you know what happened to them? They got motivated because somebody else got motivated about serving Christ. Now, two things I want you to look at in just a second. First of all, let me say this. These Corinthians here, these Corinthian believers, they didn't have to be educated to be excited. They didn't have to be educated to be excited. You see, these believers were still pretty young in the Lord. I doubt very seriously that if they had to quote this or quote something there, some of them may not could have. But you know what? They didn't have to exhibit love. They didn't have to be educated to exhibit the love of Christ. They didn't have to be able to quote 900 verses to exhibit the love of Christ. You see, they didn't have to be educated to get excited. They just had to understand what Christianity was all about. They had just now reached this level of Christianity. I'll tell you, It's exciting to see people grow in the Lord and they move from faith to faith in their Christianity. It's exciting to see people who've never gone out to tell people about Christ one time and they show up to go out and tell somebody about Christ. They're growing. They're growing. You see, they didn't have to be educated to be excited. They just believed that if it was preached, then they just should practice it. Whatever Paul preached, they said, hey, listen, this guy's of God. The reason I know he's of God, because he came and preached Jesus, and I embraced this Savior that he was preaching about, my whole life changed. My way of thinking changed. So they didn't have to be educated to get excited. And folks, listen, do you know we don't have to be educated to get excited about Christ either? Now listen, you say, preacher, you against education? No, I'm for education. Man, we got lots of education around. We got a Christian school, Bible college. We believe in education. But education and a diploma on the wall is not going to be something that's going to get you excited. You know what's going to get you excited? The same thing got these people excited. Their love for Christ, their love for the preaching, their love for their church, and their love for souls. That's what was the motivating factor. But they didn't have to go to Bible college to get excited. They were pumped up to be able to be used by God. Man, folks, what's happened to our zeal? You know, it may be that if some of us would get excited, that we might provoke others. That we might provoke very many. Well, the second thing I noticed here is this. Their zeal was contagious. Their zeal was contagious. You know, have you ever been around somebody that had an illness and they said, oh, you don't want to come near me, I'm contagious. Now, the reason you didn't want to get around them is because you might catch what they got. Right? So that's the reason that, listen, most of you, when you take the kids to the doctor, you're thinking the same thing that we used to think. Man, I go to the doctor's office, they don't come out of any sick kids. You think, man, I'm going to catch something. If you want to get sick, go to the doctor's office. You want to get sicker, go to the doctor's office. But the reason you don't hang around people that have a contagious illness is because you might catch it. They might give it to you. Well, these Corinthian Christians, boy, they embraced this thing of Christianity. They understood what genuine Christian love was about. And let me tell you something. They got a disease called zeal. And other people got around them and he said, your zeal hath provoked very many. There's a bunch of people that's caught this from you. There's a bunch of people, and by the way, listen to me, if you're going to catch excitement, if you're going to catch genuine Christian love, you're going to have to be around people that practice it. That's a reason you can't live in the world and expect to love souls. Can't be in the world and expect to be a good Sunday school teacher. Can't live in the world and expect to be a good bus captain or bus worker or usher. Can't do it. You know what you got to do? You got to separate. Because let me tell you something. You know what the world's got? They've got something that's contagious also. And you'll catch it if you stay around them too long. You'll get it. Boy, I tell you what, if you'll hang around some people in the church that love God and that Christ is their motivating factor, that their love for their church is a motivating factor, their love for souls, you hang around them, you know what you do? You'll catch what they got. And that's what was going on here. He said, your zeal is contagious. It's provoked very many. Well, first of all, I think they provoked other Christians, both Jews and Gentiles. He didn't say what the word many meant, right? He just said you provoked very many. I think not only did they provoke others around them, hey, can you imagine when the Christians in Jerusalem or Judea got an offering from Gentiles? Man, alive. And people way over there, Paul said, yeah, man, these people over here, man, when they got saved, brother, they got a good old dose, a good old fashioned dose of the Holy Ghost of God. You say, well, how do we know that? So look at here. Here's a gift from them to you. And some of them probably thought, man, Lob, I got to take back what I said about them. I got to take back all them things I said about Paul going over there. Them people over there, heathens. Come on now. That's what some of us think too, don't we? You sit at a corner, sit in your car, you see some of these little punk kids down here at these high schools, and you know what you think? Look at them heathens. Them heathens. Well, you know what? You was one of them heathens one day. And there was probably somebody sitting at a street corner when you walked by. And they said, look at you. Look at a heathen. You know why? What makes the difference between a heathen and a Christian? Jesus Christ. That's what made the difference between them. That's what made all the difference in the world to them. You see, I think they provoked other Christians, both Jews and Gentiles. I think they provoked other churches to get busy about promoting Jesus Christ. Folks, one of the goals I have, not just for me personally, but I want my Christianity to provoke very many. I want our church to, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, to provoke very many. Listen, that's the reason, folks. I don't want to stop. I don't want to just be mediocre. I want to be something God can use that others, other Christians and other churches can say, you know what? Trinity Baptist, your zeal has provoked very many. Very many. I think they provoked each other by their love to please Christ. You see, somewhere down the line, I'm sure that they heard the Apostle Paul. I doubt very seriously that he made the statement, we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I doubt very seriously he only made that statement one time. I'm sure he made that other times. We only have it recorded one time, but I'm sure he made that several times, right? Because, by the way, as a preacher, there's no way a preacher can only say one thing one time, never say it again. It's impossible. So I'm sure that he used that statement more than once. I wonder if they heard it. They probably thought, boy, you know what that preacher said? We can do all things through Christ. You know what? You kids go in there and check underneath the couch, see if we lost any pennies and quarters underneath there. Kids are crying, hey, I found a dime! Found it! Bring it in here, we're sending that back to Judea. Oh man, this is good, isn't it? You say, what makes people do that? Jesus makes people do that. He said their zeal provoked productivity in others. I wonder if our life's doing that. I wonder if your life or my life or our church, I wonder if we're provoking very many to good and very many to the love of Christ. You see, since love was the fuel behind their zeal and love is a fruit of the Spirit, then we can only conclude and deduct that these Corinthians and these Corinthian believers were walking in the Spirit and being led of the Spirit, thus they must have been filled with the Spirit. They had to be. They had to be filled with the Spirit. You see, zeal is an outward product, church, of an inward filling of the Holy Ghost of God. You say, preacher, my personality just doesn't lend itself to zeal. Well, you know, zeal is not jumping up and down and screaming, pulling your hair out. Zeal, did you notice here? Zeal is displaying the love of Christ. Zeal is displaying a love for souls. Hey, let's just get active. Let's just display to a lost and dying world that there's a God in heaven that loves them. And wait a minute now. Let's do it and actually believe it. And actually believe it. Would you bow your heads for a moment tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Who can say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm a Christian tonight. No question about it. If I died, I'm going to heaven. Don't you slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. That's me. Good, 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 good. All right, you can put your hands down. The Father, my prayer tonight is simply this, that